I always say it's always for the one, right? Because sometimes we also focus on numbers. Like, you're like, yeah. Oh my gosh, how many people watched? How many yeah. people viewed? How many people listened? How many mm-hmm. people are following me? And it becomes such pressure.
It does.
But derails everything, you know. It's sometimes it's just for the one. It's just that one person that's going to listen and be convicted. It's just that one person that's going to say, man, I need to give my life to Christ, or I need to sort this area out in my life. It's just the one person. So it's fulfilling when you hear feedback, when you see people coming through and they're like, yeah, you know, that really touched me.
Welcome to yet another exciting episode of Capture the Thought. Today, our guest is a communication specialist, an entrepreneur, and content creator. She actually has a faith-based blog called By the Altar, which you must absolutely check out. And she is a prayer warrior. Welcome to the show, Ashirai Maposa.
Thank you so much, Grace. Thank you. Thanks. Nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you here today. So if you could say three things that you are grateful for, what are those three things?
Three things. Well, I guess life, generally, for the gift of life. I think we take it for granted.
Yeah.
But yeah, the gift of life, I'm grateful for my husband. I'm grateful for my children. Yeah, I think those are the three most important things that I'm grateful for.
That's good. That's really good.
Yeah.
And so do you mind telling us a bit more about your background, your upbringing, your childhood?
Sure. So my name is Ashirai. Like you said, I'm the last born of a family of four. So, yeah, I was a mommy's baby.
We know you last born. We know you.
Yeah, so that was me. I'm a last born. I've got three older sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, like I said, I was mommy's baby. And, you know, everywhere my mom would go, I'd go with her. Like, it was just, yeah, that kind of life. But I then lost my mom in 2007. So I was 17 at that time.
Yeah, that's quite young.
Yeah, that's quite young. So, I mean, that obviously shaped a lot of my childhood, teenagehood, just that shake. It was a huge shake. Mm. But yeah, I mean, this is now 17 years later. I was even thinking about it the other day and I'm like, oh, wow, you know, God is faithful. Mm. You know, because when you're in the moment and you're so young, you never think that you're going to get out of it. Mm. But yeah, that was quite a difficult thing. And yeah, we grew up Methodist. We used to go to a church called All Souls in Mount Pleasant. And yeah, that was us, you know, never really had that big Jesus moment at a young age. But yeah, we grew up Methodist. My dad is still alive. And he's still Methodist as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's a little bit about my upbringing. I don't know if there's anything else you want me to add, but I think that was the greatest foundational thing that shaped a lot of, you know, my upbringing thereafter.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, leading to the 17 years, I was good. I was mommy's baby, you know. Life was good. Life was happy. And then that shake happened.
That happened. Yeah. That must have really rocked your world.
Yeah, yeah.
And so how did you make that decision to follow Christ? And how did that impact you? I'm sure it must have also helped you with processing
the grief.
Yeah,
definitely. I think it really did. What happened initially was I didn't really, you know, like no one prepares you for grief.
Mm.
No one prepares you for how to handle it, especially at a young age. When you're a bit older, I think it becomes easier. I don't know, but I think it must become easier because you've got so much to do. You've got so much on your plate. Maybe you've got children, you've got this, you know, but when you're young, it's a little bit difficult to really process what's happening. So in my late-ish teen years, I really went through a stage of rebellion. I'll be honest. That's all I can call it. It was just rebellion, but rebellion of not understanding what I was going through, I suppose. Now that I look back, then I didn't even understand. I was just being rebellious. But I think now that I look back, I realize, okay, I just didn't know what to do with the grief that I was going through. Mm-hmm. And I just went through a lot of rebellion. I would say safely for like a 2-year crazy moment time. But when I was 20, I was 20 and that year I was turning 21. I went to church with a friend of mine. So like I said, all this time we're Methodist, right? We're doing sit down, stand up, you know, yeah. All that stuff. Yeah, I'd been exposed a little bit to your Pentecostal vibes, like through Celebration Youth and that sort of thing. But I'd never really like, you know, had an experience. So a friend of mine said, let's go to church together. And we went to New Life Covenant. Mm-hmm. And I remember walking in there and people are worshiping and praising. They were still at HICC and I mean, the place was packed and people are worshiping and praising. And I was just like, these people can't be crazy, right? Like there's got to be something they're experiencing. There's got to be something that they're feeling for them to lose themselves so much. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, I want to experience. So, you know, I just closed my eyes. It wasn't even an altar call or anything. Just closed my eyes and I just said, you know what, Lord, if you're real, I want to experience this. Mm. And I can't even explain what happened, but it was like a complete turnaround from wow. that moment. And yeah, it really was. That moment, I never turned back. I just said, we're going, Jesus. Of course, you have your
ups and downs.
Yeah. Especially when you're starting off as a Christian, it's not always easy because you're still around the same people and you're still kind of trying to figure out what do I do, what don't I do, you know, that sort of thing. But that was the moment that I made that decision to follow Christ. And it did help, like you're saying, with the sense of understanding who I was. Mm. Because, yeah, it made me say, okay, look, I've now made this decision to follow Christ. And yes, I'm grieving. Yes, I still have lost my mom. But how can, you know, it was like he just filled that void. Mm. Like that void was there for so long and I was trying to fill it with things that couldn't. But at that moment, that void was just filled. And it's not like the grief stops, but then you have a sense of understanding that this happened, but mm-hmm. there's so much more to it. And there's so much more to life. Yeah.
Mm, that's yeah. beautiful. Mm-hmm. I love how you said that he filled that void.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Sure. That's yeah. deep.
Yeah. Yeah. And the honest truth is you'll try and find ways to fill that void because you can feel the void. It's mm-hmm. there, but you know, you're like, oh, maybe with friends, maybe this, maybe that, you know, but it, yeah, he just fills it completely. Mm-hmm. And yeah. It's just always my desire for people to quickly understand that in the grief process that if you allow Christ to fill the void, he does.
He does.
He
yeah.
does. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's a father.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. yeah. Mm.
And so that's a perspective that a lot of people tend to miss as well.
We miss that so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
So, okay, we mentioned before that you are into communications, but yes. you also create Christian content. Mm-hmm. Was it like a transition thing or mm-hmm. did you just, I mean, how did you move away from, well, are you yeah. completely away from communications?
Probably? Yeah.
I mean, how did you get into Christian content creation? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Do we have time?
Oh, tell us. Ooh, let me roll out the popcorn.
So I've always had a passion for writing, yeah. like even when I was young. And I think more so it grew in the time that I lost my mom. Because I would write. I would write, man. I had like a thick book of poems where I would just be writing. Some of the poems, even at that age, they won like, you know, global awards and things like that. So I've always had that in me. So even when I chose my degree, I knew what I was gifted in. Mm-hmm. So it was just, okay, look, I know I'm good at writing. I don't know if I should be a journalist, but, you know, let me just do this communications thing. So that's what I then did. And I'm also a very creative person, so it just kind of all goes together. Mm. So I've been in corporate, was in corporate being like your normal 8 to 5. I've been in corporate for about 7-ish years. Mm. Yeah. Rising through the ranks but pretty much communications, that's what it is, right? It's just marketing, public speaking, writing, just communicating what the brand is bringing to the people in a way that the people can understand and that can compel the people. So that's what I'd been doing. I was now in a very good job, very good job, multinational company, a very good post, you know, everything was going good.
until
the Lord really started to impress upon my heart that it was time for me to give him my boat. That was the way that he put it.
Oh, wow.
You know the parable where Jesus is talking to Simon Peter and he says to him, look, can I use your boat to preach? Mm. And, you know, he says, yeah, okay, sure. I mean, these guys are already washing their nets. They're like, yeah, we've given up today, mm-hmm. no fish. And Jesus then says to him, okay, can I use your boat to preach? And he goes and then he starts to preach. And then afterwards he says to him, come and, you know, cast your nets. And he says, we've been doing this all day. And mm-hmm. he says, you know, just do it. And he says, okay, at your word. And he catches so much fish. And so it's something that the Lord had just started to impress upon my heart. I want to use your boat. And I was like, what boat, right? But when you look at it, you know, with Simon Peter, the boat is the thing that was making them money. The boat is the thing that was giving them purpose at that time. Mm. And so I said, okay, Lord, what do we do? I mean, I don't want to lie that it was a process like he spoke today and then the next day I knew what to do. And then there were months of just saying, I don't even know what you're talking about. And until the day that I then resigned, but I didn't even understand what I was doing. And I guess that's the whole part of faith, right? You never really know what you're doing. So then resigned and yeah, like I said, it's a process. If I say it now, it seems like it just happened. There were processes of kicking my legs, like, no, I'm going back to work. And but eventually By the Altar was born.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really that I've stopped doing communications. It's just that the brand has changed.
Okay.
And what it is now is me, instead of me coming up to market the brand of Samsung, let's say, or whatever it is, and bringing sales to Samsung, it's now me marketing the brand of Jesus and bringing people to the kingdom. That's what it is. So it's pretty much now I'm trying my best to use what I would use in the corporate world as my skills to also bring people to Christ to make Jesus known. So that's how it was sort of birthed. That's how I sort of transitioned into Christian content. I still do practice corporately, if I could say, because I'm a consultant. But now, I mean, it's not like a 9-to-5, so that I also still have time to be able to work for God. Yeah.
That must have been scary.
Nope, it was scary. I do not even recommend it. I do not recommend it if you don't have a good support system, if you don't have this thick skin. Because, yeah, I mean, I don't want to lie. There are times that I just said, look, I'm going back to work. I don't know what your plan is. I'm not interested. But, yeah, you just really need to have that support structure. You know, my husband would keep saying, but you need to remember why you did this. And I'd be like, no, I want to go back to work. This doesn't work. You know, because I think the greater thing as well is, you know, when you're used to a paycheck,
yeah,
God doesn't necessarily give you a paycheck every
month.
He has different ways of providing. He has different ways of taking care of you. But the promise is that you'll be taken care of. But then it's just sometimes as people, we want to have that control where you're like, I can see the paycheck coming this month. But just walking in by faith and knowing that actually nothing of yours is going to lack is another level of faith.
It is.
Yeah. I understood Abraham when he was just told, like, leave everything and just go. Like,
but where?
Yeah, I understood him.
So, okay, you've kind of touched on this, but how's that journey been in Christian content? And what challenges have you been facing? You've mentioned the financial one. I mean, how has that been for you?
I think Yeah, it's been okay, to be honest. Like I said, I'm only like a year in. It's been okay. The difficult part for me has just been consistency, actually me being consistent, right? Because you've got so much going on, right? You've got so much going on. You're a mom, you're a wife, you're running a business, you're doing this. And sometimes it's just difficult to be consistent. Sometimes it's even difficult to find the people, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The people to interview, the people to bring on board. You know, it's not easy. And, you know, I always say it's tough because I don't want to do anything that is of myself. So I could just go and pick John, right? And say, John, I want you to come and speak. But maybe that's not who God wants. So it's also very difficult to really consistently be like, okay, Lord, who are we picking, and remaining sensitive. And there are seasons where I've said, look, I cannot hear who I'm supposed to pick, and I'm not going to pick anyone because I don't want to do it out of my own flesh and end up picking someone who has a good story, but maybe God is just not saying this person is the right person for this season. So it's a little difficult when it comes to consistency. I think it's so, I don't know, it's so fulfilling. I don't want to lie. There's much more fulfilling things that come out of it than the challenges. Because you see how you're changing people's lives, you know. And I always say it's always for the one, right? Because sometimes we also focus on numbers. Like, you're like, oh my gosh, how many people watched? How many people viewed? How many people listened? How many people are following me? And it becomes such pressure.
It does.
But derails everything, you know. Sometimes it's just for the one. It's just that one person that's going to listen and be convicted. It's just that one person that's going to say, man, I need to give my life to Christ, or I need to sort this area out in my life. It's just the one person. So it's fulfilling when you hear feedback, when you see people coming through and they're like, yeah, you know, that really touched me. You meet people that you've never known that are just like, oh, hi, I know you. And you're like, oh, okay, really? and it forces you. Okay, no, not forces you, but it propels you to live a consistent life.
Yeah.
Because you don't know who's watching.
Who's watching, exactly. Right?
And I can be in the supermarket and then I just start going ballistic and saying, get out of my way. Why are you jumping the queue? And I can do that. But I don't know that the person behind me is actually like, oh, that's that lady who preaches Jesus. Right? So it also forces you to be consistent, but which also helps you in your own life, because that's what God wants, right?
Yes.
For us to live consistently in and out of season, in your closet, outside of your closet, at home, in the marketplace, in the shop, everywhere, you need to be consistent. So it's been fulfilling, but yeah, I think consistency is a little bit of a difficult one, and it can be demotivating. I don't want to lie, even if you're not looking at the numbers, it can be demotivating when you say, yeah, this, this one's going to get them, and then you don't even get that much of a response. But like I said, you know, sometimes I've come to the point of understanding that it's only for the one.
I mean, that is so, it's so deep. And when you when you decide to go where God is calling you, sometimes you have to put everything else that you had planned for life on pause and just follow. And you're like, okay, but this is gonna take me backwards a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, just as you mentioned, you already had this very successful career. Now you have to do.
But you know, when you look at, I think when you look at life from the perspective of God, sometimes it's easy to, it's not easy, but it makes it easier to understand your journey rather than when you look at it from the perspective of man. Because what is success, right? I can say, okay, I had a good job, whatever, and that therefore was my success. But I believe that success is living out your purpose. Success is fulfilling your purpose, because when you get to the end of, you know, when Jesus comes or when you die or whatever it is, you know, he's going to ask you for an account, and he's not going to ask you for an account of, oh, okay, how successful was your career? Oh my gosh, really? You were a manager? Wow. You know, he's not going to ask you about that. That's not going to matter. What's going to matter is, did you fulfill the mandate that I put on your life. And so many times, in fact, a lot of the times, the mandate is not necessarily, I don't want to call it, it's not a materialistic mandate.
Yeah.
It's a mandate that you touched lives, you changed lives for my kingdom. You made me known to people. And so there are people that I don't like that God places in the marketplace for that. You know, there are people that are marketplace apostles that, you know, he's called you into the marketplace to influence in that way. But to be honest with you, there's always that question of what is success? And can I say now that I'm successful? I would say yes. Because I feel like I am walking in my purpose. I am fulfilling the role that I need to be fulfilling for the kingdom of God and for my own life. I mean, I look at my children and I'm like, man, I'm successful, right? Because I'm leading these children in the right way. We know when my child prays her little prayer, I'm like, oh, you know, this is success, right? And we may not see it that way. So I think it's sometimes that perspective of, what is success and what is it for me? Like, what does purpose look like for me? And am I walking in purpose or am I just trying to live life and just survive and just be popular or whatever it is? And, you know, there are things that God always satisfies your desire for. Like, he's a father, like you said, you know, he's a father and he wants, no father wants his child to suffer or to struggle or whatever it is. So he's going to satisfy the places in your life that you would think that job is going to satisfy either way. He's going to make sure that you're still comfortable, you're still good, but it will just be in a different way. And you realize, oh, okay, I actually didn't need that. What I actually needed was this. So yeah. There's a balance to it. But
Yeah, that's really good. I love how you talked about how our success is different from God's success. And so if we just align our hearts to his will,
exactly,
I think we would have more fulfilling lives.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, we would. Yeah.
And so a lot of your content is focused on prayer. I've seen your Instagram posts. What is it about prayer? I mean, of course, we must all love to pray, but you seem particularly passionate about it. So what is it about prayer?
Yeah. I don't know. I love to pray. I've seen the power of prayer. I've seen the power of prayer. I can't even start. I would go on and on and on. But I've seen what prayer can do. I've seen how the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I've seen how when you pray without ceasing and you do not faint, there are results. I've seen it. So I believe in it so much and I'm very passionate about it because I've seen the power of it. So many testimonies. I could go on and on and on. I could go on, but everything that God has, I don't know, I guess maybe sometimes God is also trying to push you towards your area of gifting or whatever it is. Because everything that I have had to go through in life, everything that God has had to bless me with, I had to travail a little bit for. So everything.
Mind sharing one of those testimonies?
Well, I guess the one that I share a lot publicly is my children. My daughter is 4, but before we had my daughter, we had like multiple miscarriages, multiple. Some that were now, you know, a little advanced and really heartbreaking and, you know, all that sort of thing. And honestly, what sustained us in that season is God himself, because you can lose yourself. It's a very difficult place to be. Especially as a woman, because you always then kind of put the fault on yourself to say, look, I'm the one who is miscarrying these children. My womb is the one with the problem or whatever it is. But, you know, we stuck through in prayer, believed God, that God, you know, you gave us a word, you told us we would have a child, and we're holding on to that word. And it would happen miscarriage after miscarriage, right? It's not like you're going to believe in it and the next pregnancy is good. But you get pregnant, you get another miscarriage, and you're like, God, I'm still believing. And continue to pray. We would go up mountains to spend time in prayer, you know, and just believe in God for that miracle. And I remember the one time that I then even went and bought like a baby receiver. And, you know, I then just travailed and said, God, this one. I'm going to hold. The next one, I don't know when I'm going to be pregnant again, but I'm going to hold this one, and began to declare over that baby receiver. And so a lot of this has been, you know, when I look at my children now, I just see prayer. That's all it's been. If I tell you, my daughter, my firstborn, when I was pregnant with her, I think I was about 5 weeks pregnant, and I was like, you know what, I just want to go up the mountain and pray and, you know, just say, God, this one, please, you know. And I remember my husband was like, okay, you know, I understand this faith thing, but you've had a history of miscarriages. You're 5 weeks pregnant, you want to go up a mountain. I was like, you know what, if I perish, I perish, you know. So I went up the mountain and came down, and, you know, I was really convinced this one we were going to hold. And we did. We held her, you know, full term. I didn't even have a challenge in that pregnancy.
Wow.
And I can't say, I mean, for other people, to be honest, God intervenes in different ways. So, you know, sometimes God will intervene through IVF or whatever it is, or you'll intervene. We had zero intervention.
Mm.
I tell you, the child just came.
Right? Wow.
The child just came. And yeah, for me, that was just number one. But even the second one, I mean, there's so much that happened as well. When she then came out, we then realized that our bloods were not compatible.
Mm.
So she quickly started to turn yellow. I mean, like within the first 12 hours, she then had jaundice, and it was apparent that our bloods were not compatible.
Mm.
So basically my blood was fighting her. Even when she was in my womb, my blood was fighting her. But she came out, and we were like, okay, this child is now turning yellow. And I remember the doctor saying, you know what? Her levels are so high. Her levels of jaundice are so high that we need to take out her blood because she won't make it. We need to drain her blood and transfuse blood into her new blood. So we need to find blood. And I said, the blood of Jesus.
Yes, that's the blood.
I said, the only blood my child will be transfused is the blood of Jesus. And I mean, now she's a sweet, happy, laughing, talking, running baby. And that wasn't done. So I've seen the power of prayer.
Mm.
I've seen it so many ways in so many cases. We could go on all day. So that's why I'm very passionate about it, because I believe that as believers, we were given a mighty weapon where you can access and talk to God in prayer. You can talk to the sovereign God, the God of the universe, and he can talk back to you. And it's a powerful weapon. And the devil knows that, ish, this one, it's a big one. And he contends and he fights it in so many ways. Mm. But, you know, it's a powerful weapon. And I really wish that every believer would see and understand the power of prayer. That's why I'm so passionate about it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing your testimony.
Mm.
So how does one cultivate a healthy prayer life?
That's a very difficult question. It's a very hard question. You know, people ask me as well, you know, how many hours should I pray? How often should I pray? But for me, one of the things that I always say is that whatever you value the most, you will do.
Mm.
So the question should not be how often should you pray, but how much do you value it?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you value a good, healthy lifestyle, you're going to invest. You're going to buy keto things, and you're going to go to the gym, and you're going to wake up every morning and run because you value good health. So if you value your relationship with God, if you value the ministry of prayer, if you value it,
mm-hmm.
then that will answer your own question. You can now say to yourself, okay, So how often should I pray? Because you value it. But you can't teach someone value. It's something that you have to say to yourself, I value this. You can't tell someone, okay, I want you to go and run and do this. They're not going to do it. They're going to do it reluctantly. So first you need to understand the value. First you need to see the value for yourself. And then you can then say for yourself, okay, this is how much I can pray because you know the value.
That is so deep. It's about how much we want to be intimate with God.
How much do you value that? How much do we, you know, because prayer, I mean, people have made it also like it's just asking. You know what I mean? But it's communication with, right? So you sit and you pray. Yes, you ask. It's good to ask. It's not, there's nothing wrong with that. But there's also the time where you need to allow God to speak and you need to be still and hear him and say, okay, God, this is what I'm now going to do. There's also time to just sit and not necessarily ask, but just praise him in prayer. Just, you know, thank him in prayer. There's so much more to prayer than just saying, I want. So when we say prayer, you know, sometimes people are just like, okay, let me write down my prayer points. But sometimes it's not that. Sometimes it's just, thank you, God. You're good. You're a faithful God. Look how you've created the heavens, the beautiful blue skies. Look at this. Oh, God, you are faithful. Lord, I thank you. Look at the teeth in my children's mouth. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You're so amazing. And it's just in those moments. It's literally just speaking to God. So, yeah, we need to also stop seeing it as just an I want moment. But, yeah, there are those moments that you can. And sometimes, you know what? You'll find that you spend time just praising God, just thanking him, just glorifying him. Sometimes what I just do is I'll take a psalm and just pray through a psalm, you know, and just declare it or whatever it is. And you find that even some of the things that I would not have prayed for or asked for just become answered because you're just spending time with your Father. And I mean, if you think about it, physical relationship with your own parent, your own father, or you know, you can spend time, and he knows, because he knows what's on your heart, and he knows, okay, my child wants a bicycle so much, but you just say, okay, you know what, Dad, I just want to spend some time with you. You're not going to ask for the bicycle. Yeah. You're going to say anything. You're just going to do so much for him. And you're going to say, okay, Dad,
make him coffee.
Yeah, let me make some coffee. Let me make you breakfast. Yes, yeah. Let's go for a walk. Let's talk. How did I tell you what happened at school? Like, you move your father's heart to the extent that he just says, man, I need to buy my daughter that bicycle, right? Right. Without you even asking for it. So I think it's also that view that people also need to have, that the more you just spend time with your Father, the more that he fulfills your heart's desire. So seek first the kingdom and everything else will be added, because you're just, your heart is just seeking him.
That is so true.
Yeah,
I've often found that prayer is like this muscle that you have to constantly exercise, because if you just let it rest for it a long rest. Time it will rest, and when you get back into it, you're like
it should just be a daily way of living. It's not necessarily the moments where you need to shut the door and whatever, but whatever you're doing, you're driving, pray. You're walking, pray. You're in the shops, pray. You know, just pray. You know, the other time I remember I was in Food Lovers, and I don't know, that day I was just in prayer mode. So I was praying and I was just praying, but I wasn't praying like loud, okay? I was just praying, you know. And there was a lady who was by my side who was actually also praying, an elderly lady. And we were taking tomatoes and whatnot, and we were praying, but then she was praying in the spirit. So when I looked at her, I then said to her, oh, you're praying. And she said, yeah, I could hear you praying as well. You know, it was just an amazing moment to just sit
and you guys weren't even saying anything out loud.
We weren't even talking anything out loud. You know, I was just murmuring and just, you know, obviously maybe she heard Jesus and, you know, whatever. But I could hear she was praying in the spirit. And that's what it is. It's just prayer. Anywhere, anytime. And it's just something we need to cultivate and stop making it this religious act. But it's just, you know, the Bible would say pray without ceasing. It's not possible to do anything without ceasing. The only thing you can do without ceasing is breathe, you know. So it doesn't make sense to say pray without ceasing, but it means that it's something you can do without even having to like find time and sit in a corner. It's just, it should just be as natural as breathing. Yeah.
That is so true.
Yeah.
That is true. A lot of, I know it's hard to teach prayer. It's really hard. But in a lot of instances, prayer becomes the secondary thing, especially amongst the younger generation. We're seeing people pull away from having that intimacy with God.
Yeah.
And is there any way really to encourage that? Or is there anything, or is it something that we also need to pray about?
Yeah, we need to pray. We need to pray. I think, I mean, it's not even the younger generation. I think it's just this dispensation. People are just, there's a move of God that you can see that people are turning to God at a quick rate. But there's also a quick diversion. So it's really sad when you see people, especially people that have come to Christ, you know, digressing or, you know, backsliding. It's sad, but at the end of the day, I think that we need to, we need to pray for them. We need to pray for them, but we need to have an eternity focus. And it's difficult to teach it. It's difficult to help people see it. But we are fast approaching the end times. We are fast approaching the end of the world. We are fast approaching the second coming. We are fast approaching. All you need to do is sit down and switch on the TV and see that there are floods in Dubai, and see that there's a war, and see that there are fire eruptions. And I mean, it's chaotic. If you just switch it on, I promise you, you will realize there are false prophets everywhere. We can't even talk about it. We know, right? Yes, there's so much of it. And I think that the enemy is also realizing that his timeline is running out, and he's doing as much as he can to capture the young generation, to capture, so that people go down with him. So we need to have that focus of eternity. And I know it's difficult to have an eternity focus when you're living here on earth, but the reality is we're running out of time. And you have to make that decision for yourself to say, okay, fine. Do I really want to spend an eternity in hell? Do I really want to enjoy and do all these things here on earth that please the flesh, but I know that the day is coming where there's an eternal death for me? Do I really want that? Like, we need to shift our minds to having an eternity focus, to really know that there is a day. And unfortunately now, you know, preachers don't really preach that gospel anymore. I mean, back then it was, yes, repent or die, right? Or go to hell. repent, right? But nowadays, you know, it's like,
we're trying to make it more palatable, you know easy to take in.
You can try and repent, you know, you can try to go to heaven. You know, we've made it so, we've compromised.
Yes.
That's the reality. And that's the unfortunate part, that, it's either we're just talking about things that are not relevant, but we need to put a balance. Yes, it's important to teach people prosperity gospel or whatever gospel it is, but it's also important for us to remember that we need to tell people that, you know, we're running out of time. And it has to be a decision, a personal decision, to say, hey, I just want to live right. It's also difficult, I understand, especially for the younger generation, it's difficult to turn to Christ. Because, I mean, even when I was that age, I was like, this is boring.
I just want to live my life
Live my life. Too many rules.
Exactly.
In this. But I believe that there's a place where Christianity is fun. It doesn't mean that. I think the Christians have also made it not so fun and make it seem so rigid and like, if you're a Christian, you cannot, you know, but there's so much liberty in being a Christian. You there's so much you can do, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like your life becomes boring. And yes, of course, you limit yourself in the things that you can do, the places you can go, that sort of thing. But there's so much you can do. There's so much to enjoy. There's so many ways you can still have fun, but still preserving your ability to go to heaven, your ability for eternity. So yeah, it's a tough one, but the honest truth is the devil is on a hunt, thorough hunt, and we really need to be praying for the younger generation. We need to be praying for ourselves. We need to be praying for our family.
Mm-hmm.
It's really up to us to pray, to say, God, you know, please just help them to preserve that, because yeah, hell is not, it's not a good place to be.
It's not. Wow. Yeah. It is scary. Yeah.
No, it is. It is scary. I mean, the honest truth is we just don't hear it enough anymore. Mm. Back then,
fire and brimstone.
It was, do you want to go to heaven or do you want to go to hell? You know what I mean?
Yeah. But
we just don't hear that gospel enough. There's just a lot of stuff going out, but very few people saying the day is coming. You know, where, yeah, it's either going to be heaven or hell.
Oh, hell.
It's coming. Yeah,
that's so true.
Whether it comes because Jesus has come back, or whether you are going to go before he comes back, but the day is coming where that decision is going to have to be made. And you don't want to be sitting there saying, oh my gosh, I wish I'd made that decision. You can make it now and just choose to live that life. And yeah.
I love what you say about having an eternal perspective, because we often forget that we are just passing through, that we think this life is all that there is.
Yeah,
but it's very transient. It's like it's moving away.
Yeah, we think we're here forever, but we're not. We're not here forever, and you have to make the decisions now. Unfortunately, you have to make the decision now for you to be able to have a better life after. I always wonder, like, you know, when you know that this person, this person's dead, but yeah, their life was not okay.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they even died and they were in a car crash and they were coming from the club and they were drunk. And, you know, you know that, this person, you know, I always wonder that, you know, when they get to wherever they get to first, I don't know where people go first or whatever, but do they sit there and regret and say, man, I wish I'd known. I wish I'd done better. Or, you know, what happens? But I can only imagine the regret. You know, like, you know, when you do something, like, okay, well, now maybe we're a bit older, but back then when we were kids, and then you do something, right, where you're like, okay, I've done this, and you get caught, right? And you have this feeling like, but why did I do
that? Exactly.
Like, I should have, at that point when I looked at the time, I should have just gone home. I should have just gone. Why did I do this? You know, and you have this eternal regret, like, I should have just done better, right? But you're still alive and you still have a moment to redeem yourself. But imagine being in that position and there's no redemption.
There's no redemption. Yeah.
There's no redemption. It's gone.
It's gone.
Yeah. You can't say, oh, no. Give me a chance. I'll go back and I'll do it better. You know, I'm sure, you know, you even get to the point of trying to negotiate that, but it's done. So it's better to just try your best. It's not an easy process, but it's better to try your best. And yes, we all sin and fall short, but it's a deliberate saying, I want to live right and I want to walk in your ways, Lord, because I understand that it pleases you and I understand that there's eternity for me. So yeah, it's a difficult one, but we just have to. We have no choice.
So we've been talking about prayer. Initially, you said that if we value prayer, we will want to do it, right? But what if you are in a season where it's just hard to, you know, it's overwhelming, it's difficult. I have had moments where I'm just kneeling on my knee down and I'm just like, okay, what do I say? I don't have anything. So how do you push through those seasons?
I think, it's a good question, because everyone goes through those seasons. But I think you pray as best as you can, as best as you know, and as best as you can. Because there are moments where you can, yes, just go on your knees, like you're saying, and just kneel there and say, God, I don't know what to say, right? And if prayer is indeed communication with God, then you've communicated. So you can just sit there and just say, God, I really don't know what to say. I'm in this place. I'm really broken. I'm confused. I don't know what to say. But you remain God. And I know you are Father, and I know you are good. But I really don't know what to say right now.
Mm.
And it's okay to do that. It's okay to have those moments. It's okay to have moments where all you do is just play worship music and just sing because you don't know what to say. Mm. It's okay to have moments you just lie down and you just take your Bible and you cry.
Mm.
It's okay to have those moments, right? It's okay to do that because we need to just understand that it's also a posture of the heart.
Mm.
It's where is your heart postured?
Mm.
Because you can be okay, yeah, I'm going to pray. Even sometimes when you're like fervently praying.
Mm.
But where is your heart? Where is your heart postured? It's always about the posture of your heart. So if God sees and understands that this child is going through a lot, Jesus knows because he walked the journey here on earth and he knows what pain is. He knows what betrayal is. He knows what losing is. He knows what, you know, he knows the pains that we feel and he understands. So he knows what you're going through and he's able to say, okay, but her heart is in the right place. She can't talk because she's in pain, but her heart is in the right place. So it's also about posture. You'll find that, yes, today you're going to kneel and just say, God, I don't know what to say. Tomorrow you're going to listen to a worship song and worship. The next day you're going to say a little bit of a prayer. The next day you're going to... It just happens. He gives us the grace as we go, as we try. Because it's not easy. I'm not going to say that every single season in my life, I'm like, yes, yes.
Yeah.
I don't even want to lie to you. I've got moments where I'm just like, Lord. What is this now?
Yeah. Right?
And it breaks your heart. But then just also that understanding and knowing that actually, apart from God, really, what do I have?
Yes.
So as much as, you know, Job would then say, though he slay me, yet I'll praise him, right? Because to be honest, yeah, you slay me and then... Where do I go?
Mm-hmm.
I can't go anywhere else.
True.
So I'd rather just sit here and say, God, I'm so hurt. This broke my heart.
Mm.
This really shattered me. I don't know what to do. And just sit there. It's the posture of your heart that really matters. Because, seasons come.
Yeah.
Seasons come where you can't. You know, some people would then say, you know, there's like a prayer bank. Or whatever it is, you know, where the times that you are fervently praying, you know, they can then assist in those times or whatever it is. But yeah, I think whatever it is, when you're able to be fervent, be fervent.
Okay.
When you're able to just sit and weep, do that.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. I think it's an encouragement to anyone who's going through that. They don't feel like they have to pretend. They can just go through it.
Yeah.
And so as we close, do you have any final words of encouragement or anything that you'd like to say?
I don't know. I guess just to encourage people to understand their mandate, to understand their purpose, and to walk in it boldly. Whatever it is, whoever you are, whatever it looks like, if it's being a stay-at-home mom, be that boldly. If it's being in the marketplace, be that boldly. If it's Christian content, be that boldly. If it's preaching, if it's being an evangelist, if whatever it is that God has called you to, understand it and do it boldly. Do it boldly. Do it when you're tired. Do it when you're not tired. Give it your all, because there's a day where you'll have to give an account. And you want to give an account that pleases your Father. But even besides that, there's someone who is waiting for the impact that you are holding back. So that would be my encouragement.
Wow, that's beautiful. Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you for coming on. This has been amazing. So until next time, stay safe and goodbye.